as I shared just a few moments ago, that when you talk about endurance, I was a cross-country runner in high school, and I didn't run after high school, but I still look really good. You know, it's crazy. I'm just kidding. Okay, tough crowd. That's just a joke, people. My gosh. I've tried to gain weight for the last, like, 10 years, and it just has not happened. I've tried to, like, anything I do, like, I just don't gain weight. It just is what it is. I know, what a curse. My sister, too, she's like, yeah. But I remember running in high school, and people used to tell me, man, Dan, you have so much endurance. You have so much endurance. How can you run such long distances? And that really is this idea, this concept that Scripture continues to give us of endurance, of the fact that I run and there's a sense of pain, there's a sense of pressure, and yet I press through that. That it's not easy. Endurance doesn't mean that something is easy. It means that I'm pressing through it. I'm continuing on in spite of. And I was sharing last night again, and just this idea of we endure because we're sons and daughters of God. But I think as I'm thinking about the practical aspect of how we endure, how is it that we do this? And I love this idea of endure in your camp in the Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews 12, he actually gives us the secret for endurance. It's in this statement right here. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. I'm giving you the answer at the beginning because I really want to unpack this in our moments together. Because I think that what happens in our faith, it's that we lose sight of what we are supposed to be focusing on. There are people that should be here, Pastor Shayla. There are people that maybe were a part of the youth ministry who are no longer here anymore. And it's not that they're not good people. It's not that they did not try. I believe that it's because they lost sight of certain things. And as I continue on in my faith, as I've been in this for now, I'm 32 years old, I'm going to be 33 in October, which is crazy. You know, I graduated in 2005, which is weird. It's been 15 years since high school graduation, okay? Rosemead High School? No, go Panthers? Does anyone even know where? Are you Rosemead? No way, that's amazing. I love it. Look at the yearbook. Just kidding. Don't, because there's my picture in there and you can really do some damage. No, I'm just kidding. But what was I saying? I don't even remember what I was saying. Yeah. Yeah. See, when I start talking about my past, all of a sudden. But the older I get, the reality is this, is that I've noticed that the secret to endurance is what I focus on. That's going to be the how. How do we do this? Now, we answered the why. I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God, but how do we do this? How we do this is by focusing on the right thing. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, he gives us the answer, by fixing our eyes on Jesus. The question is, what is your life focused on right now? What are you focused on? What's your life about right now? It's amazing when I look at Scripture, and I love this because I was focused in on the idea of what we look at, what we choose to magnify, what we choose to focus on. And I was drawn to Paul. Paul's a perfect example of someone that was in a circumstance. He was in prison. And yet the Apostle Paul chose to focus not on the prison, but on what is being produced. Think about that for a moment, because that is not the way that you and I respond to life, you know, in our everyday life and things that happen. Something happens unexpected, and it seems to automatically shift our focus from our faith to our problem. It shifts our focus from, I mean, there's sometimes we come into church and we come into a worship experience and we can't even worship because our minds are not focused on God. It's focused on what happened. It's focused on what I've got to do. It's focused on everything else, external issues. Other than God, other than who Jesus is. And this is what the secret is. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on the right thing. How are we going to endure? I've got to fix my eyes on the right thing. How do I make it? How do I last? How do I get to the moment when I hear the words from God? Enter in, good and faithful servant, good and faithful, not popular, not well-known, not Instagram famous, not YouTube famous, good and faithful servant till the end. How do we do this? It's based upon what we are focused on. The older you get, I mean, you could be somebody in here, you're 13, 14 years old, and this applies to you as much as it applies to every leader in this place. We need to adjust our focus, and this is not a one-time thing. It happens continuously. We have to make the conscious decision, what will I focus on? Because I guarantee you what you focus on will determine the outcome of your life. You could be like Paul. I mean, think about it, people. Paul is in prison. And he's writing to a church that he planted. And he says these words. He goes, what has happened to me has helped to advance the gospel. Are you kidding me? Like, what would you do if you were in prison right now, like Paul? We'd be writing a letter like this. It'd be like, this is so hard, and God obviously is judging me, and God hates me because I'm in prison, and God is against me, and why is this happening to me? And oh my gosh, and me and my emotions and what I'm going through. And Paul, he does something supernatural. He shifts his focus. Paul goes, I could wallow in self-pity. I could look at my chains. I could look at the prison, but I'm choosing to see what this moment is producing in me. And Paul goes, listen, what has happened to me has actually helped. It served to advance the gospel. What happens in life, you cannot always dictate. You can't always control what happens in life. Pandemic. You can't always control what happens in life. But listen, you can control what you focus on. And that's the key, isn't it? That's how we do this. That's how we endure. I mean, I could go through story after story of, and I shared briefly last night of my dad going through a season of cancer. My dad's a pastor. He's a preacher, and he got throat cancer. Couldn't talk for a year. I was flying back and forth from Vegas. I was a youth pastor in Vegas. I was flying back and forth to help him and his church and be with the family. And it was such a painful season. And yet in that season, I had to choose and say, God, will I focus on my pain or will I focus on the fact that you're still good and you're still in control? And listen to me. I refuse. And this is for somebody here. I refuse to be outcome-based. I refuse to be an outcome-based Christian. Well, God, if you heal my dad of cancer, then I will really worship you and I'll believe that you're a healer. But if my dad dies of cancer, then that's it. I call it quits. We have to choose what we focus on. It's funny, my dad was healed, and thank God, I'm so grateful he's able to talk and preach and all that. But 7 months later, my best friend passed away, and he's buried here in Rose Hills. He's 29 years old, fought 3 years of cancer. And in his final few months, he told me, he said, Dan, honestly, he said, I'm not afraid to die. I mean, this guy was, his name's Miguel Urias. He was one of the most faith-filled people. I've never seen anybody with such faith in his final months of life to look at me and say, I finally understand the scripture that many preachers preach, but I don't think they understand. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I have chills in that room, and I'm like, it's a shift of focus. There was moments that he would look at me and he'd be like, I'm kind of glad I'm going to heaven, honestly. He's like, you have to deal with all this craziness here. And he's like, I'll see you, man. He was just joking about something very heavy, and yet where's his focus? Where's the focus? The biggest challenge, listen, that you, bless you, the biggest challenge that you will face as a believer is to focus on the right thing. And the biggest temptation, listen to me, the biggest temptation that you will face is what you will focus on. What will you focus on? The Apostle Paul here, in prison, chose to focus not on the prison, but I love the fact that he doesn't deny what happened. Notice that too. Like, he doesn't go, no, there's nothing happening. There's no prison here. There are no chains. No, he says, I'm in chains later on in Philippians. I think it's okay for us to acknowledge the pain and acknowledge the season and acknowledge what's happening, but not to let it shift our focus. I acknowledge that I'm here. I acknowledge my current situation, but I also choose to focus and acknowledge that God is doing something in the midst of this. What is God doing in the midst of this moment? How you endure is that you shift your focus. Shift your focus. I mean, I shared a little bit last night even, but you know, Joseph sold by his brothers, and now he's in a position to have revenge on his brothers. And he focuses not on what his brothers did, but on what God did through that situation. It's what you focus on. I want to read a scripture, and I want to close, and I want to pray for us. And I really believe this is going to speak to us. Before I go there, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Notice this. He says, so in verse 12, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, whatever happened has actually helped. Listen to this. He's talking about the past. Now he's talking about the future. He says, now whatever happens, look, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. In this statement, Paul tells us, he goes, whatever happened, my focus is not on what happened. It's on what God is doing in the midst of it. And then Paul goes, whatever happens, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know. It could be good. It could be bad. Whatever happens should not dictate your position. So Paul is giving us two ideas here. Whatever has happened, my focus is not on what happened. It's on what God is producing. Whatever happens, whatever the future holds, my focus will not be on what happens to me, but it'll be on my position. Shift your focus. Where is your focus? When you leave this camp, when you leave this time together, where is your focus? I want to read in Matthew chapter 14. And as the keyboard person comes up, if that's okay, who was the keyboardist? Love it. He said like this. He said, okay, hold on. I want to read this story here in Matthew 14. Shortly before dawn, 14:25, if you want to follow along here. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost. They said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Peter, he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw, look at this. I want you to focus in on this idea. Jesus is walking on water. Are you with me? Jesus sees the disciples. They're terrified. Obviously, it's a ghost. Jesus goes, come. Peter's like, if it's you, all right, come. Gets out of the boat. Peter is walking on water. Think about that. He's walking on water, walking toward Jesus. But something happened on his way to Jesus that happens for us. It happens in our life as well. What happened? Look at this. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Peter is doing something supernatural, walking on water, walking toward Jesus. But what happens? He shifts his focus. His focus went from, I'm walking toward Jesus, to the wind, the waves. I mean, what a picture for Jesus followers today. Because the fact is that the life of a Jesus follower is something so supernatural, like walking on water. It's so different. It's so counterculture to follow Jesus. You're doing something that has baffled the world for centuries, to be a Jesus follower. You're doing something supernatural, but listen, what happens is that we begin to shift our focus. I've seen this now for almost 15 years in youth ministry. Young people who start off strong, young people who start off on fire, right? Young people who start off walking on water, and I see them. And it's the most tragic thing to see them shift their focus. See them shift focus. What used to matter doesn't matter anymore. What they used to be passionate about, they aren't anymore. They've shifted their focus. And I said it before, I don't think it's that they're bad people. I don't think they're sinful people. I just think it's what happens in life sometimes is that people shift focus. And the challenge that you and I have is to continuously focus on the right thing. Peter, in this moment, he saw the wind, he saw the waves, and he began to sink. And I love this. He cried out, Lord, save me. Think about this. I'm going to give you a little Bible observational lesson. Are you ready? Okay, I need two people to help me with this. Can you help me, two people? Come on up. Anybody else? Yeah, come on up. Okay, so stand right here. Okay, so I need you to help me. So you just face each other. Okay, so I want to show you visually what this is, okay? Because this is some of you today, and this is what Jesus is going to do for some of you, for all of us, okay? For whoever wants this kind of response. But watch this. So I get so excited about Bible study, by the way. This is like, I'm like going to geek out for a second because this stuff makes me, I went to Bible college. Anyway, let's just do it. All right, here we go. So Peter, so you're Peter, you're Jesus. Yes. All right, so the boat is over here. Let's pretend this thing is the boat. So you've now said, come. Okay, so you're walking. Okay, you're walking. This is like, you're walking. And all of a sudden, you start seeing the waves. You start looking around. And then you start to sink, right? So like starting to sink. Okay, so you're kind of on your knees. All right, so you're kind of on your knees. Okay, so watch this. So then Peter cries out, right? He's like, Lord, save me. So watch this. Immediately, oh gosh, I get so excited. Jesus help me. Look at this. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. So this is what we miss. Hold on. I know this is what happened, but this is what we miss. It doesn't say that Jesus, watch, it doesn't say that Jesus had to come and approach him and then catch him. It says that Jesus simply reached out his hand and caught him. Think about this. That means that Peter was close enough to Jesus for him to catch him. Listen to this. He was this close, and yet he doubted. He was. Are you this is why I get so excited with scripture. This is why. Because are you seeing what I'm seeing here? It wasn't like he was far away, close to the boat, and he saw the waves, and he was almost face to face with him. And yet he chose to look at the waves even when Jesus was right in front of him. What I'm trying to tell you is that if Peter could have a moment of doubt, it's okay for you as well. He was looking at Jesus right in front of him and he still doubted. There is grace and understanding for you today because some of you, you're having trouble today. You're having trouble with focusing on Jesus, and Jesus is like, hey, I'm right in front of you. All I've got to do is reach out. I don't even have to run to you. You're right there. Thank you. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? I think we're really hard on ourselves sometimes, right? We look at stories in the Bible. We're like, Peter, he walked on water, and look at him. He was standing face to face to Jesus and he still was drowning. And Jesus still reached up and picked him up. And what did he say? He said, you have little faith. And watch what he said. He said, why'd you doubt? Notice this. I want you to notice this. Doubt. Oh, God, this is crazy. Are you ready? Jesus, help me. All that Jesus says, why did you doubt? But all that Peter did was look away. What if doubt is connected to focus? What if it's that simple? When I shift my focus, I start to doubt. When I keep my focus, I'm living in faith. But listen to me. Even if I start to look around, oh my gosh, there's pandemic. Oh my gosh, what's going on? Oh my gosh, what's going on? And even when we feel like we're sinking, Jesus is right there. Close enough to just reach out. For anybody that feels like they're drowning today, all you got to do is what Peter did. He wasn't like, Jesus, help me. And, you know, if you feel like it, and he's like, save me. And Jesus, it wasn't even a question of like, well, why did you doubt? No, it was, I reach out. And then he said, why did you doubt? Jesus's response was, come. Now let me teach you. Why did you shift your focus? He responded and then he pastored him. I pray that this image would be so forged in your heart and your mind that Jesus is right there, ready and willing to pick you up. But we got to continue to shift our focus. Would you stand on up? I want to pray. And if the worship team wants to come, and I really sense this tonight as we close out this camp experience. Did this speak to you tonight? Two of you. Amen. Awesome. I did a great job. Would you close your eyes? If you feel like Peter tonight, you feel like, man, I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like my focus has been elsewhere. And today you want to acknowledge that. And you want to be honest with yourself. And it's not about me. I mean, I'm, you know, doesn't what I think, doesn't matter. It's you and Jesus. But this is a moment for you to respond. And to say, Dan, you know, I feel like Peter, I feel like that's the issue with my endurance, is that I've been looking around. Been looking around at all the different things going on in society and culture and the world. And it's real, it's heavy, it's painful, it's hard. But if you say, I want to shift my focus, would you close your eyes right there? And I want you to shoot your hands up to the Lord right now. You say, that's me, I want to shift my focus. Come on, I'm lifting my hands. And this is, again, something, it's something that we have to continue to do. You want to know, I'm going to blow your mind right now. But do you want to know why worship? Do you want to know why we start with worship? You want to know? Because worship shifts our focus. I mean, I've been in moments. I'm a preacher. And there's been moments I've come to church and I don't want to come to church, and I'm standing here just like, oh, this is hard. It feels heavy. And all of a sudden worship starts and you start sensing something. Worship has the ability to break through hard hearts. Worship has the ability to break demonic strongholds. That's why when Saul was being tormented by demonic spirits, he called for David to play his harp. And when David played his harp, he was set free. There's something about worship. There's something about these moments. It's not just like, yeah, all right, you know, let's show up late to the, we're just there for the message, you know. There's something about worship. Did you know there's no preaching in heaven? There's not going to be a pastor and a preacher in heaven. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be worship. It's going to be worship. I dare you in these moments, and not just tonight, but that this would be a lifestyle. The hope is that this theme would not just be a camp theme, but a life theme. To endure, a lifestyle of endurance. That you would continue forward. The longer I do this, and I know Pastor Shayla would feel this as well, but the longer I do this, I've seen young people I did a camp for, you know, where they were freshmen, and then I come back 4 years later and they're graduating, and then I come back and now they're in college and graduating college, and then I come back and they're like, this is my husband, this is my, I'm like, what in the world? How did you beat me, first of all? And second of all, amazing, I'm so happy for you, and you're all grown up, and it's, they're like, yeah, I'm serving at this church, and hey, this is what we're doing together, and we went to do missions, and we, and there's something for us, my heart and our heart as leaders, is that this would be something long-lasting, that you would endure, that the messages and worship moments would endure in your hearts, that you would continue on. And I'm telling you, it's as simple and yet as difficult as Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, that I shift my focus. So lift your hands right now. You say, I want to shift my focus. God, I pray for every student, every leader in this place right now. And I pray, God, even as we declared last night that we're sons and daughters of God, we understand the why. But God, that today in this moment, that God, we would understand the how. How do we do this? We do this by shifting focus. We do this by learning the ability to shift focus. That when the enemy would try to come and bring things against us, that God, it wouldn't shift our focus, but that we would continue to look to you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, would you help us? Would you help us to magnify you? Help us to lift you up. Help us to put you in your rightful place. Help us to be like the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church in the midst of a difficult prison situation, to say what is happening to me is helping to advance the gospel. Make us Jesus followers that aren't outcome focused and circumstantial in what we see and reactive to what we see, but Jesus, make us responsive in faith. And for anyone in here that feels like Peter, that's sinking right now, that they would sense your hand reaching out, pulling us up. We worship you, Jesus.